Okay. It's so wonderful to see all of your beautiful faces here today. I am very honored and humbled to be able to share the things that God has done in my life. And April, thank you for calling me. I'm a very private person. I don't share a lot of things. And when she called me, the one thing that I do love to share is about the testimony of what Jesus has done in my life. But I can give you a very quick version of it. Today I'm going to kind of go in a little bit deeper, because as I was praying about it, the Lord had asked me, you need to go a little bit deeper. You need to go a little bit deeper. And so hopefully the things that I share with you today are things that maybe some of you have struggled with, that you've overcome, and praise God for that. But if they're not, hopefully today what the Lord has shown me in my own life, that I'm able to minister to you in some way. So in 2007, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. Was I afraid? Absolutely. I had no idea what my future was going to be. Did I cry? Sure. I cried a little bit. Didn't stay there that long. I had chosen, when I was first diagnosed with arthritis, I didn't choose to take medication prescribed by the doctors, because when I was first married, I was diagnosed with endometriosis, and I had taken medication for that, and I had really, really bad side effects from it, crippling side effects. And so I had chose not to take medication just for the side effects purposes, which, you know, it was fine. It didn't bother me. But my life changed completely, 100% changed. When Jason and I were first married, he was an over-the-road truck driver. And that kind of forced me to become very independent. And I wasn't an independent person. I mean, I didn't even want to call and order pizza on the telephone. And so it kind of forced me into a role of being very independent. And when I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, it's a very crippling disease, and I was no longer independent, and that really bothered me a lot. Simple everyday things that right now I personally take for granted, I couldn't do. I mean, I couldn't pull open my dishwasher to load my dishes. I couldn't pull the covers up at night, because the pain in my hands was so bad that it was like it just hurt to just even pull the covers up. And thankfully, I have a husband who would wake up in the middle of the night and cover me. Bless his soul. It hurt to put a pair of shoes on. My feet, everything in my body hurt. I mean, if you know me, well, this was before. I don't really have a shoe fetish now, but back then I loved to wear high heel shoes, and I could no longer wear high heel shoes. I couldn't. My feet wouldn't fit in them. It was just the excruciating pain to actually even put a pair of tennis shoes on. Every day, walking anywhere, being at work for 10 hours, the pain was never ending. It just was a constant thing in my life. In the mornings, it would take me a good hour or more just to actually get out of bed. Sometimes I would just sit on the edge of the bed for the longest time. It was like, Lord, please, I just need you. I just need you, because I can't do this on my own. I cannot do this on my own, because the pain was so bad. And it was a daily, every day, in and out, 24 hours a day, and never went away. And I'm just real emotional. Bringing back all these memories just creates some emotion in my heart. I'm so thankful for parents who taught us the truth and the love of God's word, because I knew that was something that I could stand on through this time in my life. I knew that anything else that came my way, it's okay because I'm standing on the truth of God's word. And just because I grew up in a Christian home doesn't mean that I don't struggle. I mean, I was taught Christian principles from baby till I left, but I still face the same struggles that everybody else does because I'm still human. One very, very important principle that our parents had taught us, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to this. It's Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 11. And this was a very important principle that they had taught us. I'm going to scoot this out just a hair. In Philippians 4, 11, it says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who strengthens me. And so from the time that I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, I knew that I did not want this to define who I am in Jesus. And that was very important for me to hold on to that because Jesus lives in me. And there was a point that, yes, you could kind of start seeing the visible signs of arthritis, funky knuckles, and sometimes I would try to hide my hands so people couldn't see them, which is kind of silly now, but I didn't want people to see the arthritis, the weirdness in my hands, because I wanted them to just see Jesus. And people that I didn't know, or people that would see me that didn't know that I had arthritis, sometimes they would ask me, why are you walking funny? Are you stiff? Because every joint in your body just becomes so stiff and crippling. I'm like, I would just smile at them and say, oh no, just working hard at the greenhouse. And if you've never worked at a greenhouse before, everybody thinks it's a lot of fun. But even if you are not experiencing a chronic disease, a chronic pain disease, it'll cause chronic pain, I'm telling you. It is a fun job, and I wouldn't change it for the world. And a lot of times, too, the reason why I tried to hide those things was because it brought the pain to the forefront of my mind. It was something that I continually, every day, tried to forget, but it was something that you couldn't because it was there. And another reason why is because I didn't want to burden anybody with my pain. I didn't want to burden anybody with the struggles that I was dealing with every day. And I know that the people closest to me, you know, would ask, but still it was always fine. I'm fine. Was I shocked by being diagnosed? Yes. To that point, I did not realize that autoimmune deficiencies runs in the family. So I didn't know any of that. So when I was diagnosed, I was kind of shocked. I didn't expect that. Was Jesus? No, not at all. And this is why. And I'm so encouraged that Janet shared that verse in Psalms 139. And this is why Jesus is not surprised. So while Psalms 139:14, it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them became. And that's the beauty of it. Jesus was not surprised by what was happening to me because he's known me from the beginning of time. And I knew that my life was in his hands. And so I had no reason to be afraid. I had every reason to be content with the life that he had given me, with the current situation of my life. And I never sought out healing. I never doubted that Jesus could heal me, but I had just come to a place of complete trust in him that it was going to be used for him. And did people pray for me? Did they ask to pray for me? Absolutely, and I never turned them away. Never turned them away. But it was something that I didn't seek. There's a verse in Psalms 28:7 that I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible because it was a verse that always encouraged me. The Lord is my strength and my impenetrable shield. My heart trusts with unwavering confidence in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and my song, I shall thank him and praise him. But I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice with my mind. And what mind was I going to use? How was I going to take my thoughts captive? Because I don't know, I'm sure that there's the ladies that are going to be speaking, they deal with chronic pain every day. And when you deal with chronic pain or an illness that people can't see, sometimes it can also be emotional pain. Emotional pain is something that people cannot see. It'll put a real strain on your mind, a real strain on your mind. And Satan will always take that opportunity if you allow him to. And so, what mindset was I going to choose? Was I going to choose the woe is me, self-centered mind? I'm going to stay in bed today, Lord, because I just can't fight the pain. A lot of times a self-centered mind will lead to self-pity. Nobody understands my pain. Nobody can see my struggles. It'll lead to depression, selfishness. I didn't want to become a complainer. I didn't want to lash out because the pain was so bad. And if I chose that mindset, I would have allowed the arthritis to change who I was in Jesus. I would have lost sight of another principle, a very, very important principle that our parents taught us. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. And as I was going through this, going over all of this and praying about it, the Lord reminded me of when Jesus was hanging on the cross between the two thieves. His flesh was torn. His bones were exposed. Blood covered his whole entire body. He was completely unrecognizable. And he was up there dying for our sins. Do you think he was thinking, nobody understands my suffering? Do you think he was thinking, woe is me? Nobody gets it, Lord. Nobody gets it. No. Jesus, his life was the example of a servant's heart, the ultimate sacrifice that he paid for us. He was more concerned about the soul of the thief on the cross. As he's dying there for our sins, he was more concerned about the thief who was dying with him and that he was going to be in heaven with Jesus. So I had to set my mind on things above because I could have gone into a really, really dark place. I never thought, why is me? Am I alive? Absolutely. Is he still on the throne? Yes, forever. Is he worthy to be praised? 100% of the time. So why should I sit around in bed and feel sorry for myself? I had no excuse to have a self-centered mind or a woe is me attitude. So I rejoiced. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 4:4-7. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight. Take pleasure in him. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours." It's yours. So how could Jesus have shined through my life if I had kind of closed myself off, went into this dark place, just because I didn't feel like it, just because it hurt too bad? So a lot of you may know this song, but it's a song that we used to sing a long time ago, and it was my theme song. We really like theme songs in our family. And that was, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And every morning I would sing that song because I could only get it done through his strength. So it was just a daily reminder for me that through his joy and through his strength, I can do it. Because remember, he is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. He is joy. In Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones." So let's weigh that out. Do I want good medicine, or do I want crushed up dry bones? I'm going to go for the good medicine. I'm going to go for the joy of the Lord because it is my strength. So every day, I'd put my big girl panties on and I'd face the day. Jesus, you got this, not me. Because I was living for him, I wasn't living for my suffering. And I had to hold on to the truth of his word and that I wouldn't compromise who I was in him. So in 2011, they started the School of Ministry. And the first class that we had was orientation, nothing special. And so I'm just sitting there with my pen, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said to me, "You have unforgiveness in your heart, and you do not love this person the way that I love them." That was like a ton of bricks. Like a ton of bricks. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I'm writing a note to Jason, "The Holy Spirit speaking to me." He looked at me and he said, "What's he saying?" I said, "I'll tell you later." Because it was just a very powerful, because another good thing that my parents taught us was to obey. And to obey meant that something in me had to change. And so during that time, the fall of 2011, that started. The church renovations, the first part of the church renovation started. And throughout that whole time, I had been dealing with that area of unforgiveness in my heart. And, you know, Lord, continue to show me. Please, Lord, show me how to love this person the way that you love them. And he did. He really did. It was surprising, you know. And the funny thing is that he has a sense of humor, too, because that person was in my life every day for 2 weeks. But you know what? That's how he works. That's how he works. So, then in 2012, the spring of 2012, I went back to work. And so Abby and I were working together, and she asked me how I was doing. Now, if you were a family member of mine, you knew not to ask me that. Because my answer was always, fine. Again, fine. It was no fault of theirs. I just didn't want people to ask me how I was doing because I'm in pain. What else? But it was no fault. They loved me dearly and they cared for me, and I know it was their concern. So it was no fault to theirs. So I looked at her and I'm like, fine. She's like, no, how are you really doing? And I'm like, fine. And she said, well, it seems like you're moving better. And so I was kind of like, take a step back, and I'm like, I think I am. Wow, okay, yeah, I am. This is kind of weird, kind of what's going on? And so she brought to my remembrance that when I was first diagnosed, my dad's family, his mom and sister and brother had come and prayed for me. And my grandma had pulled me aside, and the Lord had spoke to her and told her that I had unforgiveness in my heart. And at that time, I didn't receive it because I thought I was a forgiving person. I mean, my parents always taught us, you know, if us girls argued, we forgave each other. But it wasn't the kind of forgiveness that he was asking for, the kind of forgiveness that he has for each and every one of us. And I was like, oh man, Abby, do you think? And so it was kind of like, do I say? Am I being healed? And so it was kind of that unknown for a couple days, and then it was like, every day it was like, oh my goodness, I can get up in the morning, I can put my shoes on, I feel good, oh my goodness, this is awesome. And so the beautiful thing about this story of my life is that I was more concerned about obedience to Jesus, and I just didn't even realize that the bonus was that I was being healed. You know, my heart was, okay, Lord, this is what I need to do, this is what I need to change, and I'm going to forgive this person, I'm going to love this person, and I'm healed. Praise God. So I want to just share just a little bit about forgiveness with you, because since that time, I have dealt with a lot of areas that I've had to forgive. And we do that all the time. We always have to deal with that. But the Lord has brought me to a place that a deeper understanding of forgiveness, a deeper understanding of love. And so I just want to share a little bit about that with you. I want to talk to you a little bit about agape love. Agape love in the Strong's is love in the New Testament, usually the active love of God for his Son and his people. The active love his people are to have for God, each other, and even enemies. So I want you to remember that word active, because it's an important word. I'm going to share a brief story about forgiveness in my life. I had a young Christian lady that came into my life, and she was very young in the Lord. And she had said some very hurtful things to me. And it wasn't her intentions to hurt me. It was just that she was young in the Lord, and she lacked a little bit self-control, and she didn't have a filter on her mouth. But me being myself, I had allowed anger and bitterness to well up in my heart towards her. And I had a bad attitude. I didn't want to be around her. I didn't want to hear what she had to say. And there was a couple people very close to me that had noticed the bad attitude, kept telling me, you need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. And it was like, I know I do. It was like, okay. And one of them reminded me of that verse in Romans 12 that talks about, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And so I was like, okay. So I prayed about it. I'm like, Lord, I feel like she needs to apologize to me. She's the one that said these hurtful things. I'm not the one that said them. And so as I'm praying, I was reminded of that year in the school of ministry, and Rayo was teaching on Romans. And when we become Christians and we ask Jesus into our life, the old man is gone. Jesus is alive in us. Our old self is dead. And one thing that he said to me that was very important, to this very day, I hold on to that treasure very dearly. Dead men have no rights. I'm dead. Jesus is alive in me. So I had no right to be offended whatsoever. And so it was like, oh, me and Lord, I have some serious heart issues, some serious heart issues. And it was like, wow, I need a spanking. You like that, Mom? Because I'm telling you, I did. I needed a bad spanking. So where did I go from here? Well, as I'm praying and I'm searching the Word, Proverbs 19 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. So it was like, Lord, how am I going to overlook an offense? How, teach me in my heart how to overlook this, because I feel that I was hurt. And so let's turn to chapter 6, verse 27 through 28. I know everybody knows this story. Okay, Luke 6:27-28. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus didn't say, hold on to the hurt, have a bad attitude, let bitterness grow inside, don't get even. I'm going to show her what she did to me. No, he said, actively love, agape love your enemies. Actively do good to those who hate you. Actively bless, serve them. And the most important, to actively pray for them. Usually if we start actively doing these things, especially when we're praying, there's a huge shift in our perspective, in our heart towards that person. And I mean, don't pray, Lord, please show them the error of their ways. I'm talking about a sincere prayer that changes your heart and your feelings and the way that you, and it'll change how you love them. You'll want to serve them. You'll want to bless them. You'll want to shower them with love, agape love. So I knew that I needed to actively pursue reconciliation with her. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul talks about that Jesus gave us all the ministry of reconciliation. It's the heart of God. I mean, Jesus reconciled us to him. And so he is calling us to the ministry. And one definition of ministry is meeting people's needs with love and humility on Christ's behalf. So I had to come to a place of humility. I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness because of my heart, because of my bad attitude. So I needed to go apologize to her. So the Lord brought me to a place of humility that I went and I apologized to her for my attitude towards her because it was wrong. And I think I blew her socks off because she had no idea what was happening. And I wanted to make sure that my heart was in the right place. That's why I asked for forgiveness, because if your heart isn't in the right place, then it's not going to work. It's not going to jive. It's not going to reconcile. And it wasn't my heart that when I went to apologize to her to bring to light that she had done something to me, that wasn't my heart at all, because I had completely released her of that. I had given that to the Lord. It was His, not mine. And so she did apologize for whatever she did, and that was fine. And you know what? The Holy Spirit was going to deal with her on His own. I didn't need to take care of that. And so back a couple years ago, my dad did a sermon on Romans 12, which is about forgiveness. And one statement that he made that I wrote down in my Bible because it was very important to me, that forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. And it's really a submission to the Father, that, Lord, I've asked for forgiveness. I am submitting to You, and I'm going to go reconcile this relationship. And so, I mean, if any of you have dealt with unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, I mean, any kind of relationship, husband, wife, brother, sister, mother, I mean, neighbor, anybody who you have a relationship with, take a step back from that situation and ask the Lord to reveal Your heart in the situation. Is there anything that He needs to change in your heart? And trust me, the truths that I've learned have been heart-changing for me, heart-changing. And when we face issues of the heart in our relationship, Satan also will take that opportunity to wreak havoc on our minds. He really will. He'll put tons and tons of vain imaginations in our mind. And so sometimes we get excited. I'm going to go ahead and pull out my Bible. I'm going to turn to Ephesians 6, and I'm going to get the full armor of God on. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to fight the enemy. Let's get excited about this. Yes, that's good. We need to do that. It's very important to fight against the enemy. But remember, when you're dealing with relationships, with heart issues, you need to put some clothes on first. Because certainly a metal breastplate might feel a little uncomfortable if you're naked. So let's turn to Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Sorry. So my encouragement to you today is, it's the heart of the Father to actively pursue reconciliation and agape love for one another, for our enemies. Just ask Jesus to clothe you like He did, like He talks about in Colossians, especially when you're dealing with relationships, because if you've got the full armor of God on and you're head on into this situation or this heart issue, it's not going to matter if you're not clothed with those things. So I just thank you, ladies, so much. That's a little bit of piece of me. I am kind of a private person, but that's just a little part of my life. I mean, God continually changes me. He continually renews my heart and my mind through His Word. And so thank you so much for this time, this opportunity to share the love of Jesus with you. Thank you.